I want to welcome you to this week's edition of Washington Avenue's Memento Podcast. Those who are familiar with this, you will notice that I am not the usual face that stands here, although I am using Shane's office. But I'm Lenny McKay, one of the other pastors here at Washington Avenue. We have been in a study of Ephesians, and this podcast is designed to be kind of both a reminder and complimentary of the previous week's sermon. So today we'll do a little bit of reminding of things that were from this week's sermon and also hopefully some ideas that are complimentary to what Jim had taught. I'm going to read from chapter 4 of Ephesians, verses 7 to 11. Paul writes, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Now this expression, "he ascended," now what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also the very one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers." Now that's where we're going to start. It continues on, and that will be dealt with next week. But as this passage gets started, one of the things it talks about is the grace that is given to us. Now this is not the same grace that we deal with when we talk about the grace of God that was given to all men for the sake of our forgiveness and salvation, but this is grace that is given to us in various measures and in different degrees based on how God wants to grant us abilities and gifts within his body, within the church. And he says this is according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, Paul, when he writes to the church at Romans, he says something the same way in Romans chapter 12, verse 6. He says each of the gifts are given according to how the Spirit distributes. It says the same thing to the church at Corinth. And so that grace is given and distributed, but he uses this analogy when he says, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. That is a quote from Psalm 68, verse 18. Many people have looked at this passage and have tried to figure out just exactly what is he talking about here, because one of the things that Paul does is he changes what Psalm says, both in the Septuagint and the Hebrew, which it says he received gifts from men. Now, why the Spirit has changed that, and why Paul, speaking through the Spirit, has done that, maybe it has something to do with the fact that God doesn't need our spoils, and maybe it's God is distributing, especially since in this particular passage he's going to deal with some different roles and callings that God has given the church to help build up the body of the church. Before we jump into that part of it, it got me thinking about, you know, those of us as parents that have a variety of different children know that we can give different things to a different child, knowing that this child can probably handle this role better than this child can, based on age, based on personality, based on what we have seen in them. Those who are managers in stores sometimes do the same thing. Being in the sports world, I often think of coaches and that kind of role, the players that play different roles on a basketball team or a hockey team or a soccer team or a football team. 25, 26, 27 years ago, I was in Nowata, Oklahoma. I had not been there very long, and Nowata is a small town, about 3,500, and I remember their high school football team that was, I'd say they're mediocre at best. They were not worst team, but they're probably a 5-6 win team. They hire a new coach, a coach that was used to winning, and one of the first things he did when he came in was he started shifting players into new positions. And he looked at this one guy and says, "You know what? I think you'll make a better quarterback." It created a little bit of a stir because the quarterback that they had at the moment was the bank manager's son. That caused a little bit of upheaval, but he began to rearrange the positions as he thought would best suit the team. In 1 year, they went from being a mediocre team all the way to the championship game in 2A in Oklahoma football. All because a coach saw the potential and saw the roles, and he began to change positions because he knew what would be best for the team and who could play what role better. Well, God knows what's best. As Jesus, according to the measure of his gift, as the Spirit distributes as he sees fit, we've been given different roles to play. And at the end of this little segment, we'll talk about a few of those. But I want to back up just to the passage from Psalm 68. It says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives. Kind of seems redundant. He led captive a host of captives. But when you kind of see the word picture of that's in play here, often when a conquering king would conquer a neighboring city or little nation that was around them, on their way home would often be some of the spoils from what they brought back of the animals and some of the wares and some of the trinkets and other things. But then there would be a variety of people that might have been coming back. One of those would have been those that they captured, and they're coming back in chains. But the other group would be people who had been captured, and maybe it was some of their men that had been captured in an earlier battle, or maybe it had been their wives and their children who had been conquered, and those were taken away, and they went back and, in a sense, recaptured those people and brought them home to freedom. Now, I can see both of those word pictures working here, but in my mind, it seems to be that he led captive a host of captives. It was taken from Psalm 68, and Sinai, Mount Sinai, is in reference here a little bit. Mount Sinai is the place where the Israelites went very early in their journey as they came out from Egypt. People who for 400 years had been enslaved and captured in bondage to another people, and God leads them out using Moses. And he, in a sense, captures those who had been captive. Verse 9 says, when he talks about the ascension, he says, now the one who ascended, what does it mean except that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? Several have tried to guess what this is, and I don't want to go too far into it other than just to say a couple of things that sort of make sense to me. One of those ideas is Jesus, who has ascended, who came from heaven and now descended to the earth and eventually then ascended back to the Father in heaven there. If that's what's in play here, then we see that God has, in a sense, captured those who've been held captive by sin. That's us. And by Jesus' victory over sin and death on the cross and his crucifixion and his resurrection, we the captive, have been led captive. And in it, we have found freedom. There's another image that also can come to play because it says he descended into the lower parts of the earth, maybe meaning Hades. Peter writes that just kind of in that in-between time, between the crucifixion and the resurrection, is that Christ went to preach to the spirits in prison. Some say that Jesus went to Hades, or the abode of the dead, and when he came back with a host of captives. Those who had died in belief, those who had died earlier, that now those souls who had been waiting, that when Jesus went, he then brought them back. So that Paul can say later, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And now they are with the Lord, just awaiting for you and I and all of us together to get the new bodies that were someday promised. But in this particular passage, as he started out, the grace that was given to us as the Spirit saw fit, he then goes on to say that he gave some of these roles, some of these giftings, some of these callings were given to some people as the Spirit's deemed fit for what would be the best for the church as it was getting started and as it was continuing to grow. And he starts with a couple of groups. First, he says apostles, the apostles being the 12, and then the Apostle Paul. The 12 primarily went and were ministers to the Jews, whereas Paul, his primary ministry was to the Gentiles. God used these men in miraculous in a variety of ways. But it says the apostles and prophets, these men who, as Paul will say in Ephesians 2:20, when he talks about how that we are being built together into a building altogether, it says built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus himself being the cornerstone, the very stone by which all other stones and bricks are measured. A little bit later in chapter 3, verse 5, he will talk about that the mystery of Christ, it was revealed to the apostles and prophets through the Spirit, through which then they revealed to the rest of mankind. And so these first two seem to be roles that this church that we now look at as the modern church since the time of Christ was built on a foundation of apostles and prophets, but through the centuries has been built brick by brick, all of us being put together where we best fit in that building. And so some of those other roles that have been given, one of those, he says, is he gave some as evangelist, some as pastors, some as teachers. As Jesus left this world, he gave what we would call the Great Commission, as he gave the mission to go into all the world, preach the gospel. Go, make disciples. Go. Some people have been gifted with the calling of going, and they have gone preaching wherever, whether it's here in the United States, or they have gone taking the message of Jesus all throughout the world in a variety of places in that locale and that location, taking with them the message of reconciliation, being ambassadors for the sake of Jesus and the gospel. These gave some as pastors, some as teachers. And we continue to see these roles probably each and every week when we come to church. Now, I am one who thinks that these are separate roles, because sometimes you see pastors who teach and you see some pastors who, I think throughout Scripture, more often than not, it's a role that sometimes is defined as elder, sometimes is called a bishop, sometimes is called overseer, sometimes is called shepherd. Each of these words seem to entail, based on their functions, a similar role to them. Paul will write to the church in Ephesus, but specifically to Timothy as he's writing to this church, talking about how some of the elders are worthy of double honor because they not only are shepherding and leading as elders and overseers, but then they have the work as teachers and preachers. The church today will continue to have pastors, shepherds, elders, leaders who continue to oversee and continue to shepherd the flock. But within that also, he gives us teachers, people who will continue to expound the Word of God, who will dig into Scripture and pull things out to help us gain some insight and wisdom so that we may grow not only in the knowledge of Jesus, but also in His grace. So each of these roles is given as the Spirit sees fit, and it's given for a specific purpose. Now, I'm not going to get into that part because this is just a little sneak peek for next week, because verses 12 and 13, 14, 15, 16, all of that then describes, why did God give these people these things? And how does it best benefit the kingdom? How does it best benefit the church? How does it best benefit Washington Avenue? And even me personally? Well, tune in Sunday to listen to our next sermon and the next message as we continue on. I'll give you a little bit of clue. It has something to do with equipping. It has something to do with unity. It has something to do with being one. It has something to do with maturity. Well, that's all I'm going to say for now. Until next time, thank you.